My guest at this time is Elaine Donnelly. She is president of the Center for Military Readiness. She was with us back in December when Defense Secretary Ashton Carter announced that women would be used for ground combat. At that time, Elaine predicted that soon officials would be calling for women to register for the draft, meaning register with Selective Service, and that's exactly what was recommended earlier this week in testimony on Capitol Hill before the U.S. Senate. Marine Corps Commandant General Robert Neller and Army Chief of Staff General Mark Milley saying that the current policy, which requires only men to register for Selective Service, should be changed after those restrictions on women in combat were removed back in December. Elaine is now here to react to this news. And Elaine, what's your first reaction here? Obviously, you're not surprised, but what do you make of the timing here?
Well, first of all, the decision made by the Secretary of Defense announced last December, the executive branch announced women would be subject to direct ground combat assignments, including the infantry, on an involuntary basis. And this is very important. It's not a matter of being allowed into combat or permitted as a career opportunity. If you join the military, once you sign up, you're subject to the same orders as the men. So the Secretary of Defense made that very clear, but quite often people still use that permissive word, allowed or permitted or whatever, and it's much more serious than that. As for Selective Service, as you said, if this is a logical conclusion that is likely to be imposed by a federal court because the administration has unilaterally changed the rules. Congress has not been involved in this except to say, well, what are you going to decide, executive branch, Mr. President, Mr. Secretary of Defense? They've got it backwards. Congress should decide this issue, not the executive. But since Congress has pretty much allowed the administration to have its way on all the policies involving women, it's not surprising, but it certainly is disappointing.
What do you make of the Marine Corps being one of the first to into suggesting this, since they were the ones fighting so fiercely against women in combat? Is this their way of pushing back in the issue more than actually wanting women on the front lines?
I don't know. General Neller, when asked, offered a personal opinion. I happen to think that offering that personal opinion was inappropriate. General Neller should not be intervening or interfering in the congressional debate. He should not have been asked to do that. What he should have done is answer the question put to him by Senator McCain on the question of gender-integrated basic training. Now, the Marines have historically had a superior form of training. Men and women train separately in basic. Later on, they train together. But in basic, when they are transforming young people into Marines, what they call making Marines, they keep distractions to a minimum by training them separately. And there's so many good reasons for this. This is a subject of huge debate and discussion some years ago, not that far ago. And I waited, I expected General Neller to give a solid explanation of the rationale for the disagreement between the Marine Corps and the Secretary of the Navy on that point. Now, I realize his boss is sitting right next to him, but he missed the opportunity to put on the record why the Marines have always had separate gender training, why it is superior, and why it should not be changed.
So now that the decision's been made, he's falling into line, essentially.
Well, there are certain constraints put on people in uniform. Once an order is given, they have to salute smartly and carry it out. There's one exception to that. If in a congressional hearing, or in this case a Senate hearing, a straight question is put to a person in uniform, they are duty-bound to give an honest and candid and full answer. In this case, Senator McCain, to his credit, did his best to draw out of the commandant what was the reason, the rationale, why is there a disagreement with the Secretary of the Navy on co-ed basic training. He failed to take that opportunity, unfortunately. And that was disappointing. Perhaps the most, well, it was that and the what he said about Selective Service, both of those points were very disappointing. But, you know, ultimately it is up to Congress to make these decisions, and Congress has to assert its authority. But the first thing they need to do is look at all of the information that the Marine Corps produced in extensive research over the last several years since 2012. That research revealed truths that show women and men are not physical equals in direct ground combat. Physical differences matter. Speed, the ability to carry heavy loads, to march long distances, to have accurate marksmanship at the end of that march. Fatigue matters. All of these issues and realities were scientifically measured by the Marine Corps in field exercises over 9 months. Now, the truth that came out of those exercises remains. The truth always remains the truth. But the administration is trying to sweep all of that under the rug. Now, again, the Marine Corps, the Commandant, is somewhat constrained, but I hope that Congress will revisit this issue and maybe do a better job on the House side, because if asked the question in a direct way, any person in uniform has the obligation to answer honestly. In the meantime, my organization has been analyzing all of these facts all along. We're going to post a new article. I've just submitted testimony to the committee. The entire statement is 35-plus pages. I've tried to distill the most important points that were raised and created for the record by the U.S. Marine Corps and some other sources. This is only on the physiological stuff. There are so many more issues that are involved in this. Physical interactions, issues of misconduct, deployment, deployability, everything that comes into how we treat our men and women in the military, all of these issues have yet to be examined. I was on a presidential commission that studied this issue for a full year in 1992, and we did a pretty good job. The Marines did the rest of the story with the scientific measurements. The truth is there, but the administration is trying to sweep it under the rug. And I have one thing to add here in this regard. The next president of the United States can and should review every bit of this and restore sound priorities. First thing you have to do is find the truth and then act on the truth. This is why we did a survey of all the presidential candidates. And we received, the first to answer our survey was Senator Rick Santorum. And he gave solid answers right down the line. Then we received responses from Senator Cruz. And his answers also were right down the line. And he added additional comments about women in land combat. We're still waiting to hear from Donald Trump, from Senator Rubio, from several of the other candidates, and we're going to keep asking, because it's up to the next president of the United States to deal with these issues. So voters who care about the military, especially in the early voting states, you need to look at that survey, and if your candidate, your favorite candidate, whoever it is, has not responded yet, you need to ask that candidate, where do you stand on women being ordered into the infantry, co-ed basic training being changed into the version where sexual misconduct increases? Where do you stand on selective service and drafting young women in a future national emergency? These are key questions of national defense and policy involving every man and every woman in the military and civilian women who may not even be aware of what just happened.
Last topic here, Elaine. It took less than 2 months for your prediction that women would soon be encouraged or eventually required to register for selective service. If there isn't a major policy change with the next administration, what other shoes could be dropping soon?
Well, if we get into a national emergency requiring a reinstitution of a draft, women will be involved in it. Now, this would be militarily disastrous and administratively unworkable. Only a tiny minority of women would come close to being qualified for what the only reason you draft anyone is to create more combat replacements. Now, that phrase, combat replacements, clinical term, isn't it? That was the phrase used by the Supreme Court decision and a Senate report that it quoted upholding the exemption of women from selective service. Now, if we don't need women to be in the infantry and combat replacements, why would we register for selective service half of the draft age population? It's very expensive to sort through potential people involved in selective service or a possible draft. If we don't need to do that, why should we do it? Now, again, I think General Naylor may not have thought this through. There is no good reason to rob the resources of the Marine Corps and all the other combat arms in order to accomplish the goal of registering women for selective service. And besides, it's really not a fair thing to do. It may be equal, but it's not fair, because in direct ground combat, women do not have the physical capability and equal opportunity to survive or to help fellow soldiers survive. So I hope we never have to reinstate the draft. But if we do, young men are better equipped to deal with that than young women are.
Elaine, we'll call time there. Thank you very much for being with us.
Okay, thank you for calling.
Elaine Donnelly is president of the Center for Military Readiness. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.